morning, and thank you for having me.
You're very welcome again.
Oh, it's lovely to be on your show.
you're very, very, very welcome indeed. 2 out of 10 principals are found to be experiencing symptoms of severe stress. I suppose that's no different to any leader in any particular company or community at the moment.
Well, definitely, we are all much more stressed now than we had been before COVID began. But it is quite a lot of stress that they experience. To be honest, I have carried out research previously with other groups, and I have never seen the statistics to be as severe as this. So when leaders were asked how many of them have experienced a lot of stress this in this school year, 80% of them said that they've experienced a lot of stress. Usually it's about 30%, or pre-pandemic it was about 30%. And even during the pandemic, when there was research carried out with people experiencing stress, it was not as severe as in this group. So they do experience a lot of stress at the moment, maybe even more than others.
You surveyed 861 primary school leaders, as they're called, in the survey. 7 out of 10 were in the role over 4 years. 8 out of 10 reported their enrolment to be stable. And that's, of course, one of the pressures on principals, is having enough students for the next school year so that they can keep the numbers of teaching cohorts. 96% of school leavers worked over 36 hours, and 3 out of 10 working over 50 hours a week. But there'd be people out there, Yolanta, saying, what? 96% of them work 36 hours, and then just 30% are working over 50 hours a week. Many people would be saying, but sure, the vast majority of leaders work far in excess of that.
Well, every leader definitely works, leaders definitely work a little bit longer hours. But I think that the more important issue here is that the amount of stress. And what the report has also shown is that while their depression levels are more or less the same as the general public, their well-being is lower, and it's definitely lower when we compare them to the post-primary school leaders, and just showing the complexity of the role, the additional pressures that they are under, even in comparison to the post-primary school leaders that are receiving much more support.
Well, I know that primary schools are often far less resourced than secondary schools, and I think, I'm sure you can make the division between rural primary schools as opposed to urban schools, and rural schools in particular, where principals might be teaching as well as trying to carry out their administrative jobs. That can be a key aspect of pressure. On that point, actually, what were the principals and deputy principals identifying as their main sources of stress?
They are going through a lot of additional tasks that they have to complete relating to COVID. So in addition to the usual stressors that they've experienced, they've also had COVID-related HR issues. Many teachers had to be replaced by substitute teachers, and finding substitute teachers was very challenging for them. They also included things like implementing COVID safety guidelines, which were extensive, classroom cleaning, again, massive additional tasks that was added to everybody, to teachers, to leaders. But as you said, in smaller schools, leaders were doing a lot of it as well. And any kind of additional procurement, purchasing the PPE equipment, there are additional stressors that are affecting leaders, even though the roles are already very complex.
Many of these stresses are within the control of the person themselves, some would say. I've been reading through your report, and I noticed, for example, that a quarter of the leaders have never taken the sus biog. Now, the sus biog, for those out there, is the break at 11 o'clock or 10:30, and it's called in schools, particularly primary schools, they call it the sus biog, as distinct from the sus mór, which is am loan or lunchtime. And 3 out of 10 take it regularly, but a quarter of the leaders never take their morning break, with half of the leaders taking their lunch rarely or never. Now, that's never advisable, even on the most basic, fundamental human individual level.
know, but the interesting thing is that research is showing us, past research is showing us, that very often we take these short breaks as a reward for completing a task. And I'd say because of the busyness of schools, leaders just, they maybe don't feel that they need to be rewarded because there's so much more left to do. But there is a huge amount of research showing us that not taking breaks is detrimental to our health. So firstly, it's bad for us for the afternoon. So if we don't take that little break, we're talking here about less than 10 minutes. If we don't take this break in the morning, in the afternoon, we will all feel a little bit more irritable. We may feel not as engaged with work. But more importantly, the overall well-being is reduced when people don't take their proper regular breaks. So it is not even for leaders, it's for everybody. It's so important, especially now when we are under so much additional pressure associated with COVID, that we take these breaks.
And I think one of the findings in your report, which will be of huge concern, and not just to the teaching fraternity, but to every parent who's sending children to schools, to primary schools, not one leader out of the 861 primary school leaders that you surveyed, not one was flourishing psychologically.
Yes, that really saddened me very much, I have to say, because similar research was carried out in many European countries and with thousands of participants. And there were, despite the pandemic, there was still a percentage of participants that were flourishing. And we're talking here about 15-17% were still flourishing, whereas in our sample, not one of them was flourishing. That really made me very sad because it just shows you how much pressure they were under. I think that they've been firefighting so much. And last summer was the write-off in a way because everybody was preparing for school reopening. So I think it's just the constant relentless challenges that they have been experiencing maybe are affecting them, affecting their well-being. But the worst part is that research is showing us that when people's well-being goes down to moderate levels, which is the case with the vast majority of our leaders, it may result in depression 2 years from now if it is not sorted out. So there is still time. We still can do something about it, but we need to do it fast to help leaders, be it by centralizing some of the tasks, helping them out, maybe even providing them with additional mental health support. But something definitely has to be done because these leaders are looking after our children and we need to make sure that they're well.
2 out of 10 leaders showing high level of resilience, but that leaves 8 who are not dealing with that stress in a comprehensive or a proactive way. Finally, in your report, you issue various recommendations, and you've talked about some of them there. But it seems to me, listening to you, we need a multifaceted approach here. It's not just a simple thing of, you know, taking your susbyog or your lunch. Yeah. We have to look at the bigger picture. What kind of resources, both financial and human, are available to principals when they have to make these changes, when staff go sick, when they have to make the changes according to the COVID? I've interviewed principals here across the past year at primary and secondary level about the demands being made on them. How are we going to cope with these students when they come in? We're dealing with large numbers of children. How will we get them to observe COVID, all of that? It's one thing to be dealing with a cohort of adults, but very, very stressful when you're dealing with a cohort of children. And by extension, your accountability and responsibility to those children on behalf of parents.
Beautifully put, beautifully put. Absolutely, completely agree with you. And I think that there is this whole school approach that's necessary that would include, because we're focusing our attention very much on children, which is understandable, and we need to continue with this. But we also need to focus the attention on the teachers, on the principals, and also on parents, because they need to understand, they need to become part of the community and need to help out and also be helped in some ways as well.
Well, it's from the Education Department at Maynooth University. It's called Wellbeing in Post-COVID Schools, Primary School Leaders Reimagining of the Future. The findings are extremely significant and are of concern not just to teachers, but to every parent out there who wants those who are in charge of educating their children to be in a good place, psychologically and professionally. That is the nature of this report. The co-authors are Margella Dempsey of the Education Department, who's Associate Professor at Maynooth University's Department of Education, where she lectures on curriculum studies and other related issues. And our guest speaker this morning is Dr. Yolanta Burke, PhD, Chartered Psychologist specialising in positive psychology applied in education. And she's Professor Assistant Professor and Researcher at Maynooth University's Department of Education, where she's also Programme Leader of the Master's Degree in Educational Leadership and Management. God almighty, Yolanta. You have an awful lot on your menu there.
I know, it's very enjoyable though.
Yeah, and you sound like you're really enjoying it. And listen, lovely to have you on the programme.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoy chatting to you always.
As ever, and likewise, thank you indeed. Dr. Yolanta Burke with that story. Very, very important. Well done all round.